You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Jim Nagy, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl and also phenomenal ESPN draft analyst with us here at ESPN. Jim, thank you so much for your time on this holiday week. I so appreciate you. Hi.
Anita, how you doing? Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, so I'm filling in this week from noon to three, and I was on yesterday and got a, you know, obviously with the Jets winning the last two games and no longer getting that number one pick, and now of course it's with Jacksonville and everybody's anticipating Trevor Lawrence to go to Jacksonville. I received a lot of calls yesterday from Jets fans, you know, kind of asking me about Trevor Lawrence and, you know, why am I so confident that he is a sure can't miss player? And my response to them, and you know me, I'm at the combine all the time. I'm talking to a lot of scouts. It's my favorite. It's like one of my favorite weeks of the year. And I've made a lot of calls pertaining to Trevor Lawrence because the Jets were losing and because I did anticipate the Jets to get Trevor Lawrence. And there's not one scout that I've spoken to, Jim, that has had a negative thing to say about Trevor Lawrence. There's always a scout that says a negative thing about every player. I had scouts tell me negative things about right. Tua last year and Justin Herbert and Baker Mayfield and this one and that one. Every scout that I've spoken to at least 15 to 18 scouts already. Just rave reviews. You don't find that often. I haven't had this type of feedback on a quarterback since Andrew Luck. So I thought, you know what? Nobody better to have on than Jim Nagy. To really kind of give us some insight on your thoughts of Trevor Lawrence. What do you think about him? What other quarterbacks in the NFL would you compare him to? What do you think his ceiling is? If you can, kind of give us your analysis on Trevor Lawrence, Jim.
Yeah, first of all, I feel for Jets fans. It's been a tough year for them, and then have them win these last couple games when you kind of could feel Trevor Lawrence being part of your club. And I can relate. I grew up a Detroit Lions fan, so one playoff win since 1957. So I share in their pain there. But you're right. Scouts love to poke holes in players. That's what we do. And Trevor's a hard guy to poke holes in. So my first live exposure to him was his freshman year at Clemson. Saw him play a couple games that year. Then was with him two summers ago at the Manning camp. And he's similar to Justin Herbert in the sense that when you get up on this kid, he is a big man. He's got broad shoulders, really athletic body type, kind of like Justin was last year. From a physical standpoint, he can do everything because, you know, he can run it and create explosive plays with his legs. He's got a really live arm. I mean, that was evident at the Manning camp, just watching him throw in that group. I mean, he was in that group that day with Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, there was all the top guys were there that summer. So he can throw it just as well as those guys do. And where a lot of times you poke holes is in the makeup of the player. And just relying on years and years of contacts at Clemson, they love this kid. I'll bring this back to his freshman year. I was on campus in August that year talking to Dabo about him. And, you know, Dabo's favorite player of all time is Deshaun Watson. And he said, I said, well, what's the freshman like? He's like, well, you know how much I love Deshaun. He's like, but in terms of football IQ, Trevor's way ahead of where Deshaun was coming in. This guy coming out of high school was really ready to play and winning the national title. He did take a little bit of a dip last year. I wouldn't call it a sophomore slump. But similar to Deshaun his last year, I feel like Trevor felt kind of the weight of the expectations a year ago. And so there was some unevenness in his play. But he's been lights out this year. He really has. He's played great. He's elevated that team. So it is. It's hard to poke holes. And you brought up Andrew Luck. I scouted Andrew coming out of Stanford, and he was another guy between his makeup and the physical stuff. It was hard to poke a hole in. And Trevor, that's probably a good comparison between the two guys.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable and interesting. Were you at Andrew Luck's pro day, by the way?
I was not. at Andrews.
Okay, because I was sharing that story, you know, again, you know, the one player since that I haven't heard a lot of negativity about, you know, was Andrew Luck. And I've had a few scouts tell me that the best pro day they ever attended was Andrew Luck's. I guess when they were there, there was like a horrible windstorm there in California that day. And Andrew walked over to the scouts and said, what do you want me to do? You want me to throw into the wind or with the wind? And all the scouts said, against the wind. We would love to see that. And they said he put on a clinic in like a windstorm.
So, well, again, bringing it back to Andrew, Andrew made a lot of things look really easy on the field. And when you watch Trevor's tape this year, it's different than the last 2 years. He really looks like he's the varsity kid going out there and playing JV ball. Cause he's making it look so easy. It's effortless to him right now. So, that's another area, and that's how Andrew looked his last year at Stanford. I mean, he was a man among boys. So yeah, that's a good comparison. I love that story from the pro day.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite stories. Again, Jim Nagy joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. So with that being said, you know, Jim, you know, in regard to quarterbacks, you know, there's some comparisons to him, like, you know, being like, you know, John Elway, like, right? Like, do you feel that this is a no-brainer for Jacksonville to draft him? Who, even if a team, you know, offers the world plus the kitchen sink plus God knows what, you know, this is a quarterback that can change your franchise for the next decade, if not 15 years.
Yeah, especially considering it's going to be a first-year GM taking the job. That's good. That would be really tough for a first-year GM to come in and pass on Trevor Lawrence. That might be career suicide. So, no, it's the safe pick, and it's the right pick. You know, and I think he's a lot like Justin Herbert, you know. And again, Justin got picked apart last year. I think we talked about it, Anita. Unjustly so. You know, people said Justin was an introvert. You know, and the question is leadership. And I told you, with my week down here in Mobile with him, I didn't see any of that. You know, and now you look at what he's doing in the league right now, breaking every record that's ever been for a rookie quarterback. And you watch him on the field with his teammates, like, you don't see any of that. So really, Trevor, you know, in terms of guys playing in the league right now, in terms of physical stature and athleticism, Justin's probably the one he's closest to. And if you could... Justin's setting every record, so if that's the guy you're comparing him to, that Trevor Lawrence would seem like a slam dunk. And I haven't done all the junior quarterbacks yet because we're so focused on guys for the Senior Bowl. So I haven't, you know, I haven't really done a deep dive on Zach Wilson at BYU or Justin Fields at Ohio State, that group of guys. So, but guys I've talked to around the league, there is a clear separation between Trevor and those other guys.
Yeah, I'm hearing the same thing, Jim, and that's why prior to you coming on, I said, you know, and this is just my own two cents and based on my the information I've gotten from a number of other scouts I've spoken to, I anticipate with the number two pick, I'm sure, you know, we've seen it, right? There's a team, there's a general manager, there's a coach that falls in love with a guy. And I do believe that there's going to be someone who's going to fall in love with one of those guys, whether it's Zach Wilson or Justin, and they're going to want that number two pick. And I think that they are going to offer Joe Douglas a lot, and he's already acquired a ton of draft capital, let alone they've got a lot of cap space to play with in free agency. I anticipate the Jets to trade down. I'm curious to get your thoughts if you do have one on what you anticipate them to do with that number two pick.
Yeah, Anita, I think you might be right, because you look at what Sam Darnold's done with really a suspect supporting cast. We'll just leave it at that. You know, I still think Sam Darnold's the same guy. He's been hit a bunch. And you see what happens to quarterbacks that get hit a lot. I think right now Carson Wentz is a perfect example in what, you know, Carson's regression. So they need to shore things up quickly, because you don't want Sam to keep getting hit. But if you can't accumulate a bunch of assets on top of what they have, you know, Joe D and I got into scouting right at the same time. And, you know, he was a lifer college scout, and he's a huge believer in building through the draft. I know that. And, so I could see stockpiling picks and trying to build around Sam would be a better option than maybe rolling the dice on some, you know, the BYU guy is kind of a, you know, kind of a 1 year wonder playing out there in on the West Coast, and really, frankly, hadn't played a lot of great defenses. And then Justin Fields, I mean, he's thrown five picks in his last two games. So there's no sure thing. So, I mean, I think that they have to measure Sam against what else is in this class. And if you can get multiple first-round picks and maybe players on top of that, it has to be something that Joe would consider.
Again, Jim Nagy joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. If you can, kind of, you know, let's rewind. You mentioned Sam Darnold. You know, there's a lot of talk and speculation here. You know, will the organization commit to him? I really feel that he's been dealt a really bad hand here. And jury's still out for me in regard to Sam Darnold. Like, I could totally see Sam going to like the 49ers with Kyle, or going to like the Colts with Frank Wright, and like totally like shining, right? Like, if you were a general manager, based on what you've seen from Sam in your time with him, evaluating him at a college player, as well as what you've seen, understanding the difficulties in what he's been dealing with here in the Jets, would you commit to him moving forward, Jim?
You know, Anita, without watching all the tape, that's difficult because all I do is watch college stuff right now. But in theory, yeah, because again, I think that he's still a young enough player. I think when you do get hit a lot, you develop bad habits, and really it kind of erodes your instincts a little bit. And that's what, when I was with the Seahawks, that's what we loved so much about Sam, was how instinctive he was. But you just look around the league, you know, right place, right opportunity to kind of change the scenery. Look at Tannehill, what he's went from, going from the Dolphins to Tennessee. I mean, he looks like almost like a completely different player. So I think circumstance and situation matters a lot, really at any position across the league, but quarterback especially. So, yeah, I think there's going to be plenty of teams interested in Sam. So that's why Joe's going to have a lot of options, you know, whether it's move Sam and stay put with those picks, or keep Sam and move off the pick. I mean, so that for Jets fans, I know everyone's losing out on Trevor Lawrence is a huge blow. But they are going to have some great options on what they're going to do, what they can do there at the top of the draft.
Hashtag, I call it champagne problems. Jim, before we let you go, again, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, that's going to take place in just a few months. What are some of the other players? Give us maybe some names of some other players that you already are really excited to participate in the Senior Bowl that maybe Jets fans need to start paying a little bit more attention to. Maybe they're going to be playing in a bowl game or two that they can watch that you're pretty high on and excited about.
Yeah, you said a few months. I wish we had a few months. We have 3 weeks until the players report, 3 weeks from Saturday. So it's coming fast. But, no, we're really excited about this crew of guys. And, again, we've touched on the offensive line issues there, and I think Becton was a great pick for them. But our offensive line class is going to be really, really good this year. 2 years ago, which was my first year at the Senior Bowl, we had five linemen go in the first round. And that year, like the North squad, 9 of the 10 guys went in the first 3 rounds. So all those guys are starting right now in the league. And I think this year's crew has a chance to equal that. Some really talented guys, whether it's like Liam Eichenberg, the left tackle from Notre Dame, Tevin Jenkins, the right tackle from Oklahoma State. There's some juniors that we're still on right now that when they finish up here the next week or two and declare they're graduates, so we can move on those guys. And I've already had conversations with some coaches at some of those schools. So it's a really deep offensive line class. I mean, you can get starters into the third, fourth round possibly. So to me, we're really happy with all our position groups across the board. But if I'm a Jets fan, I really want my team to address that offensive line and get younger and more talented.
Jim, what day is the Senior Bowl?
Players report on the 23rd. We've had to implement all sorts of new COVID protocols for this year to pull this game off safely for the players and the NFL guys. But so the players will be down here on the 23rd of January, and the game is on the 30th on the NFL Network, kicking off at 2:30 Eastern time.
Fantastic. With all the draft capital that this Jets team has, I'm sure that Jets fans will be watching. Jim, thank you so much. Again, always appreciate your time and your insight, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Yeah, happy new year, Anita. Thanks for having me back on.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.